Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. It is 10 minutes after 4, and we have the coach, Steve Logan. Nice to see you.
Yeah, baby. In studio.
In studio.
Live and in color,
baby.
I know
you've been sitting on your deck at the beach a lot. one promotional announcement. First of all, of course, Coach Logan, I'll do this promotional announcement in a minute. But first, this hour brought to you by our good friends at Mulchmasters. They have your lawn covered, and right now it's wet.
And cold.
And cold.
Yeah.
Is this similar at the beach?
No, it's warmer. I walked in, and one of the girls out front, though, said that there's a little bit of snow, I believe she said, in Rocky Mount or something.
Nice.
To panic. For a Jersey guy like you, it's nothing, but for these Southern boys, it's tough.
Oh, man. There won't be any milk left at the
store. No milk, no bread, and the snow will be gone in about 38 seconds.
Toilet paper also gone.
Exactly.
You never know what you're going to need. Yeah. Let's talk about the game. And anybody wants to chat with the coach, 860-0850, pound and star 850, about anything that you think the coach can handle, which is really anything.
Love life.
There you go.
Yeah, anything.
That's fine. You want to talk
exactly.
Basketball?
Bass fishing.
Bass.
Not basketball.
Oh, I'm going to ask you a basketball
not
question
basketball.
Later that you can handle.
Bass fishing, yes.
the game. I know you've been a big Virginia Tech fan all year, and I agree with you.
Yep.
About Virginia Tech.
Yep.
But for the second time as a favorite in a big game,
mm-hmm.
they really didn't play like they were the better team. They did not do the things. They were very, very bland
mm-hmm.
offensively. It seemed easy to stop.
It was Groundhog Day. Miami mm-hmm. came to Virginia Tech, and I explained on the show 2 or 3 weeks ago, Miami never plays man coverage. They came in and put a man coverage scheme and a blitz package together that Virginia Tech's offensive coordinator and offensive coaches were not ready for. Certainly the Vic kid wasn't ready for.
Right.
Okay. Now, fast forward 3 weeks. Florida State took that film. They ran the exact same blitzes, the exact same coverages, and absolutely blew them off the field again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a further indictment. And Adam, this is hard for me to say, but listen, that was coaching. That was coaching, good coaching on Florida State's part, bad coaching on the offensive coaches from Virginia Tech. They did not see anytime you have get blown up in a football game.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing you do as a coach, you get that film and you go back to the office on Sunday and you get your staff together and say, guys, see what just happened to us. That's going to happen week after week after week after week until we get some answers to this. I mean, you go into a panic. I do.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody stops you, listen, that film will make the rounds and everybody will mimic that and give you a fit until you solve that dilemma. And Virginia Tech did not either. They didn't think that anybody would do it again. Doesn't matter. They didn't have a plan for man-to-man coverage and blitz pressure against Marcus Vick.
And the run game was completely shut down both times.
Well, that's because if somebody's going to pack 9 men in the box,
right.
you can do whatever you want to do until you expose the 9 men in the box to an explosion play, either with a 3-step drop or moving the quarterback
mm-hmm.
or a max protection scheme where you push the ball further down the field. One of those three options has to come, and it's got to be answered very quickly early in the game. You're going to get a dose of it you can't handle.
Moving the quarterback.
Big deal.
You know, I watched Virginia Tech and NC State
mm-hmm.
on the first Sunday night of the season.
Yep.
And it was about, I forget when the touchdown came. I think it was early in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there going, the Vic has such great mobility.
Right.
How come Virginia Tech, because he wasn't having a good game at that point, how come they're not moving him around, letting him roll out, not necessarily throw on the run, but moving the pocket because State was applying a lot of pressure? Give him some time that way in open space and put the pressure on the defense to make a decision whether to come up and play him or drop back into coverage. And they finally did it on one play where he rolled left and threw a touchdown pass into
right.
the left corner. And I can't recall if they did it 5 more times during the year.
Well, I'll tell you, again, the coaching aspect, the coaching perspective of that. One of my hang-ups, one of the points of interest I have as an offensive coach is my two tackles offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And everything I do, I kind of start with my thinking there. Okay? And here's the dilemma. If you're playing left or right offensive tackle at the collegiate level, most of the time it's because you're not good enough to play on the defensive side of the ball. Now think about that. Okay? That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big, heavy man that you're playing tackle because there's a joke. It's called the last stop before the bus stop. If you can't play left tackle, you can't play anywhere else in football. You know, if you're that big and that heavy because you're not fast enough to play on the defensive right. side of the ball. Well, the point is this. DeMario Williams, is that the boy's name over at State? Mario Williams.
Mario Williams.
Okay. I just described for you who and what the left tackle is 90% of the time. He's just that big guy.
Right.
And now you've got this really athletic, talented big guy mm-hmm. across from you. Now, the point is this. I'm going to start drawing up pass plays like all quarterback coaches do. Okay? It doesn't matter what you draw up until your big guy can slow down that street monster across the football from you that runs a 2-2-40 and he's 6'6", he weighs 290 pounds. God only made about six or seven of them out there. And how do you block the guy? Well, that's the point of issue. And so that leads me to the answer to your question. Moving the quarterback is a fundamental piece of a sound offensive package. The West Coast offense moves the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Joe Montana. They're going to boot him. They're going to run him around. They're going to have a little sprint out package. You've got to have about four or five different launch points for the quarterback in a well-designed offensive scheme, in my humble opinion. Now, I didn't invent that opinion. I took that opinion from the Walsh School of Thinking. I've got every 49er film from 1980 on, and I studied them and took everything I did right off those films. Believe me, move the quarterback, even when you don't need to move the quarterback. So that Mario Williams can't line up in that Harley Davidson stance with his foot kicked back 19 miles and just jet straight up the field. And then you're dog cussing some poor 6'6", 330-pound man that can't run out of sight in a week for not blocking Mario Williams. Now, see, you got my blood pressure up again. I'm just screaming already because I've been down that road. Move the quarterback. Move the quarterback.
You already made me laugh.
Okay.
Can't run out of sight in a week.
I've had a bunch of guys like that I had to coach. You become creative.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing. I guess it was the first half. It was in the first half because it led to their field goal. Vic was flushed out of the pocket, rolled right. One of the few times he did escape.
Right.
Florida State's rush, and on the run,
right.
threw a pretty good pass down the right sideline for
right.
about a 40-yard gain.
Right.
I mean, bells and whistles would have gone off. The other thing that I have noticed about Vic throws off is the wrong foot a lot. And a lot of times he was throwing the ball downfield to guys he had open, mm-hmm. but the ball didn't have enough zip on it because he was throwing off the back foot. The wrong foot. We know he's got a good arm.
Right.
He's got a great arm.
Great arm.
But the ball wasn't getting to where it needed to be.
When you're throwing off that wrong foot, that's because you've lost confidence in your offensive line. A lot of times you're just trying to get rid of the football.
Right.
And he was being harassed and pushed around and all those other things. But the other thing, in my opinion, at the collegiate level that was missing and is still missing from the Virginia Tech mosaic as you're trying to put together a national championship on the offensive side of the ball, they need, with a Marcus Vick, they need some simple forms of option football installed in that offense. It doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be a triple option. It just needs to be enough option to where the defensive coordinator can't line up and start playing dial up a blitz.
Right. Okay.
And that's all they do. Just dial a blitz. If you dial up a blitz against just a simple option football play, you run the risk of giving up an 80-yard touchdown. And they don't have that at Virginia Tech. And it's just a fundamental piece of college football.
Mm-hmm. Ralph Friedgen runs option with Always. Quarterbacks that can't run option.
Well, not only that, Ralph runs a triple option with quarterbacks
That's
that
right.
can't run. It doesn't matter. But when you're preparing for Maryland, you've got to prepare for the option. And that was true of me when I was coaching. We're going to have some option so that I can keep the chaos manageable for the quarterback. Okay, you can give him a master audible that when he sees a free safety coming up on the downside or a strong safety coming down strong, all these things that get technical, just get yourself into the option and you can teach him during the week which way you want to take it and you can severely, severely hurt a defense with a simple option football play.
Let's talk to Tom and Carrie. We'll get a call in for Coach Logan and we'll take a break. Tom, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm the Hokie from Carrie. I've got a couple comments, I guess. Questions and then I'll get off the phone and listen. Coach, you know, you hear Gary Danielson recognize so many things that we needed to do, and he's not knowledgeable about Virginia Tech. We started out throwing the ball in order to establish the run. We didn't need to do that. We already had an established run, and all we did was play into their defensive hands. I ended up going to what, a 3-4-4 type of setup?
Right.
Anyway, I just want to get your comments on the fact that we have a screen, we have a draw, we have an option, we have a speed option. We have the ability to attack the corners, Steinspring prepares the team during the week. We don't have a sense of how to adjust during the game. As an offensive coach, when do you start making the adjustments and recognizing what Gary Danielson did after a couple of drives, and why can't we do that? You mentioned before we don't have it.
Well, you know.
What are you doing? You like Blacksburg? I'll hang up and listen.
That was a job offer, I believe, from Tom.
Blacksburg. Let's see. Are there a lot of people trying to retire in Blacksburg?
Yes.
I don't think so. But, no, it's a nice place. Believe me, I've been there. Haven't had too many good experiences there. A couple, but not too many. But anyway, I mentioned after the first defeat that on a good game plan, and maybe they do have this, but it doesn't appear that they did. On a good game plan, for instance, when Miami came out and surprised Virginia Tech, it would have surprised me. I've played Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And when I play Miami, I'm prepared. I've got every zone scheme ready to go relative to their zone coverage in the secondary. I've got a little box still on my game plan that says versus man-to-man, we've got these mm-hmm. 2, 6, 10 plays, doesn't matter, plays that you know your kids know and that you've practiced, and their go-to plays against man-to-man or blitz coverages, okay? It didn't appear that Virginia Tech had that against Miami, okay? It didn't appear, again, like they had anything, you know, a certain set of plays that they would go to negate the pressures that they were seeing. And he mentioned that they, quote, have a speed option football play. I've not seen Virginia Tech run that all year long.
Neither have I.
Now, I haven't seen them every game either. But with Marcus Vick as my quarterback, you know, a David Garrard, a Mark Crandall, Jeff Blake, you know, those kinds of guys, believe me, we're going to have some option in that football plan to negate what defeated them two times this year and possibly cost them a national championship.
If you don't have option, you got to have rollout.
If you don't have option, you've got to have what they call bootlegs and waggles
right. And
dashes, where the quarterback will take a 5-step drop, set up, and that gets everybody into their coverage lanes and all these rush lanes develop. And then you sprint the quarterback from there, usually from one hash to the other,
mm-hmm.
and it reestablishes a launch point for the football. And it buys the quarterback time, and it allows you to push the ball tremendously down the field. You can start throwing 18 and 25-yard comeback routes that normally you can't do from the pocket. But I didn't see any of that. You know, it was disappointing for me.
Weakest part of Florida State, we're going to take a break right here. Weakest part of Florida State's defense all year had been ends mm-hmm. and corners all year.
All right.
And Virginia Tech was unable to take advantage of that.
Well, they had one or two drop passes that were criminal
right.
drops.
Well, one looked like it was a volleyball tap.
Unbelievable. You know, yeah. I mean, and when you're 3 and 4, you know, and that's the biggest thing that I've noticed, Adam, when I began to work with the NFL kids. And again, I'm working with the second team NFL guys. Okay.
Right.
When I went back and started watching college football, the numbers, and it comes back to me, the numbers of dropped passes is beyond redemption. I mean, it kills you to execute a pass play, all the things that are involved, the protection, the launch point, the throw, the catch, the route, mm-hmm. and then to drop the football at the end of
when
all
it's
that.
Right there.
It just, it'll buckle everything that you're trying to do, and it's demoralizing. And I've seen so much of that, I just want to throw up.
Don't do that now.
I won't do that.
Steve Logan is here. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Sports Radio, 850 The Buzz.
Sports Radio 850 The Buzz. Sports 30. Adam Gold along with the coach, Steve Logan. All right. We have a lot of stuff I want to get to. We have to get your top 15. And
right.
I've already done my top 15. My top 15 is on the web. It's actually blogged already.
Okay. Well, I didn't peek.
All right. I'm sure you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Give me 15 through 11.
Number 15 is going to surprise you, but I did a little research and I can validate it somehow.
Okay.
Wisconsin.
That does not surprise me because I came very close to putting them in.
Good football team.
Yes,
good football team. Number 14, I know you'll hate Texas Tech.
Well, it's all right. At 14, I can at least keep it down.
Alabama.
Okay, I think I had Alabama 12.
LSU. How about LSU, Georgia? Huh?
I'm not surprised.
You're not?
I like Georgia all year.
Well, I do too. Let me tell you something. Georgia may have been one of the best football teams in the country if
yep.
the Shockley kid doesn't get hurt.
If they don't lose the Florida game.
But, and Shockley isn't there.
Right.
That's why they lost it. They would have blistered. They would have blistered Florida had Shockley been in the football. He's a special player.
Yeah, he's very good.
He's way up there now, I'm telling you. And then I got West Virginia at number 11, and that kind of hurts my feelings because I think they're better than that.
I think they're one-dimensional. I don't think they can throw it at all.
They can't.
Oh, okay.
They cannot throw it, but it doesn't matter because they spread you out.
They do.
So far that, you know, they're going to go ahead and be able to run it anyway.
Okay, well,
that's the Rich Rodriguez method.
I had Boston College where you have Wisconsin. I had West Virginia 14. I put Florida State back in after what I watched on Saturday. That's a top 15 team.
Listen, if they're top 15, they may be top 10 talent.
Yeah.
But they've just been so chaotic and disorganized on offense, I just can't, you know, I don't know. I guess.
What I saw was top 15, so that's fine for me.
You can justify that.
Thank you. I had Alabama 12 and Oregon 11.
Well, you're going to die when I give you my Oregon.
Well, I'm sure I will. We'll get to that in a little bit. In theory, I think one of the things that affected Virginia Tech this year was the idea of breaking through to become this national power on an annual basis. How do you deal?
Adam, you've hit the nail right on the head. My dad said it a million times, the hardest thing to handle is a pat on the back. And when you have newfound prosperity, mm-hmm. you know, people that win the lottery, they just go completely crazy, don't know how to handle it, right? And the same thing is true in the realm of athletics. When you suddenly are winning and there's not quite the tradition there, I mean, it just, there's something about handling what I call the responsibility of winning. There's great pressure there. And to handle all that stuff, you know, here's what I used to tell our kids. And this is one of the ways I used to recruit at my former place of employment. Okay. There's three things. There's only three ways you can go into a football game. You go into a football game expected to win. That's number one. And you win it. And you go home and you feel okay and you're relieved and you go to sleep. All right?
Mm-hmm.
The other scenario that comes about, number two, is you go into a game and it's a 50-50 toss-up. You win that game, you feel pretty good about it. Okay? And you feel like you did your job and blah, blah, blah. Okay? The third thing, okay, the third way to go into a football game is when you're not supposed to win it. Now, I've been in lots of those.
Right.
And if you win that game, that's the most fun you can have and still have your clothes on. Swear.
Right. Okay.
It's just the most exhilarating feeling in the world. Now, Virginia Tech you know what I'm saying? It's been very recently that many, many games they would go into and they weren't supposed to win it. So you could play loose, you could just let it rip, here we go, and rock and roll, and they would win it and feel good. And all of a sudden, when that thing is flipped around, and week after week after week, you go onto the football field, and you're getting ready to entertain somebody's Super Bowl effort, that gets old. Like Notre Dame, like USC. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talked about the miserable look on Matt Leinart's face after the Notre Dame game. And I mentioned then, you know, the heaviness, the responsibility of winning, it gets tough. Can you handle it? Well, USC's had that for years and years. Notre Dame's had that for years and years. Oklahoma, Texas. That's why year after year after year, look at the top 10. It hardly ever changes.
Right.
The Michigans, the Ohio States, and all of a sudden you're the new guy on the block and all at Virginia Tech. I think there's still a learning curve left, not only for Frank Beamer, but the players, the constituency, the athletic director, everybody involved has got to learn how hard it really is.
Yeah, I mean, There's no, I can understand losing the game, but I couldn't understand getting so dominated by Miami. I couldn't understand. I mean, they were down 27-3, looked like they had no chance. They actually did have a chance. I've asked you before about the 2-point conversion.
Right.
Can you explain maybe why Frank Beamer went for two at 27-15 with about 8 minutes to go?
He was trying to get it to an 8-point game.
Trying to get it to 10.
Trying to get it to a 2-score game.
Well, it was a 2-score game if he kicks the extra point and makes it 27-16. That's a field goal and a touchdown and a 2-point conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't understand why he put all of it right there. Kick the extra point, you still have the possibility of, well, it was 2-score, but field goal.
Right.
And a touchdown game. You still have the I just,
you know, again, Adam, I've talked to you about being on that sideline with 16, 18 seconds. You got to choose something, and here you go. And believe me, if we had Frank on the show, he could justify it in a New York minute. He could. He could justify it. He would have what, because here's what we don't know. We don't know what his injury situation was. We don't know, a million things that may have been said on the headsets that were influencing that decision. Hey, coach, let's go for it right now because our left tackle's getting killed and we know we're not going to be able to do it or we think we can't. I mean, I'm just telling you things that I've experienced that there's no way you can explain it to the constituency at the time or to the media. But you know what? The guy's got probably 40 years of coaching under his belt. Most of the time, those guys, you know, probably more right than wrong.
I mean, the two-point conversion is just...
Well, it's debatable.
Too much to think about.
It's debatable.
It's creating bad decisions, I think, all over.
It's
what Dennis Franchione was going for two in the first quarter against Texas two weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's like, come on,
I know.
Please.
I know.
Come on. I mean,
it's debatable.
Only when it's completely necessary.
Okay.
Let's talk to Tom in Raleigh. What's up?
Hey, Coach and Adam, how y'all doing today?
Good.
First off, Coach, I want to start off by saying, you know, you don't want to go to Blacksburg. Chapel Hill's a lot closer. You know, Gary Trunk would get leaves. At least you would still be closer to the beach.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think really what I saw in the game was so much, but I think mentally Virginia Tech just wasn't into the game. I mean, the discipline level, I mean, I have never seen them play and have some of the penalties called on them that I witnessed on Saturday night. It's like they just wasn't into the game with their heads the first three quarters of that game. And I'd like for you guys to comment on what is the ACC going to do with the officiating as far as that little ticky-tack unsportsmanlike conduct by Vic when he scored a touchdown and he just simply spiked the football.
Well,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
That's not an ACC rule.
You know, what Marcus Vic did right then just fractured me.
Yeah.
And I assure you that over on the sidelines somewhere, Frank Beamer pulled my little trick about tearing the kidney out with no one seeing
Absolutely.
It. I promise you, he put his arm around Michael Vick and just was ripping flesh off of that young man. And I would have too. I'm going to tell you, that is a devastating penalty.
Yep.
They just got themselves back in the game and now you're kicking off from the 20. Yep. You just negated the touchdown. It was just absolutely beyond any redemption. There's no way you could justify it. And I get upset thinking about that. It upset me so bad.
I hate the rule, first of all.
Well, it's the same old thing, Adam. It's abuse led to restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you didn't have some kind of rule, the whole football team would be down there doing a break dance and here we go. And I mean, it just gets crazy. Look at the NFL. I mean, a receiver now cannot catch a touchdown pass without having to go through something that no doubt he's choreographed all week long. They spend hours working on these choreographies, and I'm just wanting them to just catch the ball.
Okay.
Please catch the ball.
But they're funny. Some of them are funny.
Some of them.
Chad Johnson putting the football last week was funny.
I guess I'm kind of old school along those lines. I mean,
for the most part, I am too.
Yeah, just come on.
But I think that's entertaining, and the NFL is entertaining.
I'm not a fossil on that issue.
Right.
I mean, it's okay, but, Jiminy Christmas. Get over it. You scored.
Steve Smith changed the football.
Did you see that one? Yeah, that one was like super ultra stupid.
It's creative.
No, that was real stupid.
Did you like Joe Horn with the cell phone?
That was way beyond stupid, and I'm glad they fined him for that. Now, think about this now. I'm coming at you from the coaching perspective.
I know.
You've got a guy that just caught a touchdown pass that has spent all week long, A, thinking about that, B, he took the time to sneak a cell phone out on the field pregame, put it in that goalpost.
Pretty good.
Okay, pretty good. Let me tell you what that is. If we had lost that game and I'm the coach, okay, the team meeting I would have had, they would have seen the embodiment of Satan, okay? Because the distraction that causes, and then we lose the game, listen. I mean, there would have been no blood pressure pills available to get me back into the normal range.
What about Terrell Owens signing the football and giving it to the person in the crowd?
Oh, once you got to the R-E-L of Terrell, I quit listening, okay? I mean, you want to coach that? Do you?
No, I don't.
No, I don't either. And neither does anybody else.
Pretty creative celebration.
Well, but I'm just saying, you know, those guys, all they've done, you look around the league, they tear up locker rooms, they get coaches fired, they're me, I, and it just doesn't, you know, how long will it take humanity to learn that doesn't work?
You think he'll He'll find a locker room.
Oh, no question, because coaches are the biggest whores on the planet. If there's talent, they will whore themselves out to the talent and relearn the lesson again. Right. Don't hire the snake. The snake will bite you. He's a snake, and he can't change. He's got leopard spots. Spots don't change. I mean, it's just the way the guy is, and he can't help himself. Don't try to change him. Go to another guy that's got a little character. Coach him.
I think everybody underestimates character.
Oh,
and chemistry.
But Adam, I'll tell you when you begin to appreciate it is the older you get. When I was in my 20s and maybe early 30s coaching, right. I didn't care if it was Terrell Owens. I didn't care. I'd take that guy. Right. But let me tell you something. When you get 40, 50, and all of a sudden, you know, you really understand the deeper ramifications of everything you're doing in the coaching world, that character issue is beyond huge. It matters big time.
All right, you ready for 10 through 6?
Number 10, Virginia Tech, two losses away from perfection.
I have Virginia Tech at number 8.
Okay. Then I've got Auburn.
I have them number 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Miami?
Mm-hmm.
Then Notre Dame, and that upsets me.
Notre Dame number 7. I actually moved Notre Dame back to number 9.
Well, they should be, actually. You're more right than I am. There.
Okay.
The teams they beat had a 48%
right.
winning record.
Yeah. And number 6?
Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, so you don't have Oregon in your top 15. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything.
10-1, baby.
Don't say anything. We're going to take a break. It's
green unis and all.
442. It's not the green ones that bother me as much as the highlighter yellow.
The buzz.
The buzz.
I have got to tell you the most important thing you've ever heard.
The buzz.
Sports Radio 850 The Buzz, 449. Change it up a little bit with Chuck Berry.
Hey, that guy got me started playing the guitar, and I've not been well since.
I'm a big Chuck Berry.
Oh, baby.
All right, a couple of more things. We have to also get your top 5. I still can't believe that.
Come on.
Oregon's not in your top 15. Now do you understand why I didn't have UCLA in my top 15?
Yes. You're right. You're right. It was a bloodletting.
That was, I don't know which team looked less interested in playing.
Colorado
or yeah. UCLA. I mean, obviously they were playing two teams that were on a
Colorado
mission.
Colorado was totally and completely intimidated pre-snap.
No doubt about it.
I mean, they were scared to death and just had no answers.
Your friend, Gary Barnett,
right.
said
right.
prior to the game that here's what he said. He said the person who finishes last in his med school class
mm-hmm.
is still called a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we're champions of the Big 12 North.
I wonder how long it took him to come up with that, because that's ingenious.
It's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And you know what? He's right.
He didn't seem too confident about his team's chances.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Texas and USC really are frightening football teams right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I watched Reggie Bush closely for the first time.
My Heisman vote.
You know what? He is a freak.
Mm-hmm.
That cat is doing some things with the ball under his arms that, you know, only one other guy can do, and his name's Vince Young.
Right.
And, you know, the problem is that USC has got the quarterback who's capable, and then they've got the Bush kid who's out of this world.
Yeah.
And I don't see Vince Young having the same kind of help, although I still think Texas's defense, and everything on paper suggests that Texas's defense is much better than USC's defense.
USC, in fairness to their defense, they have played much better offenses, I believe, against much better offenses
probably
this year.
So.
They played Oregon's got a pretty good offense.
Yep.
I mean, they did shut down. UCLA had whatever.
UCLA had a fine offense.
Great offense.
Yep.
I mean,
shut them down.
Olsen was dynamite.
Yep.
The running back was great, but they didn't do anything.
Yep.
Against Southern Cal, did play against Notre Dame, and Notre Dame did pretty well. But, I mean, Arizona State had a very good offense,
yep.
at least when Southern Cal played them. So, it's hard to say. I think you're right. I think Texas' overall defense, I think Texas might even be better on the offensive line. They might. I know they're better on the defensive line, and
yeah.
the back seven are better.
Yeah.
And I think they're better in special teams, but I don't know that it matters when you've got so many weapons offensively for USC. I mean, they're two dynamite wide receivers, great tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
Not only Bush, but Lendale White, and good
yeah.
blocking fullback. And you've got Leinart, who apparently didn't want to play very well.
The other intangible, though, that's really, really in USC's favor is, I believe, 2 or maybe 3 out of the last 3 years. But I know 2 out of the last 3 years, USC has been in this game. mm-hmm. this big game.
Well, they've played for the national. They won two.
That's what I'm saying.
One of them was official. One of them was not.
They've been there. The kids know. Mm-hmm. They got an anticipation of what's going to happen. And all of a sudden, the Texas Longhorns, this is going to be a different entertainment for them. Handling, just like we talked about, I mean, this is mm-hmm. new money. You got to handle it. Now, Texas has got a heck of a tradition. But still, these kids haven't been through what the USC kids have been through.
It's not an exhibition.
No.
Anymore.
No, it's the real deal.
Yeah, last year's Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
And they were in the Rose Bowl last
That's right.
year against Michigan.
That's right.
That was fun.
Yep.
That game didn't matter as much. It
nope.
was just fun, and Vince Young was phenomenal.
Yep.
It's going to be very interesting to watch him. All right, give me 5-1.
Georgia.
Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia number 5. What do I have? I had Georgia 6 right behind Auburn. Number 4.
Oregon. Boy, 10-1 Oregon.
Sounded like you said Oregon.
You know what? It may be a sympathy vote for those. These guys go 10-1 every year, never get a sniff.
Sounded like you said Oregon there.
It was Oregon.
I had Ohio State 4.
Well.
Number 3.
Penn State.
That's where I am. We're going to be the same.
In Texas and USA.
Texas and USA. Yeah. Really sounded like you said Oregon there at number 4.
It was. It is. One quarter of bad football. That's it.
Right, but then, well, I know you're a big fan of not playing anybody, but.
Well, they're in the same conference that number one in the whole world is, USC.
Yeah.
Well.
But they didn't play number 3 in the league. They didn't play UCLA.
They didn't play Fresno State either.
They did play Fresno State.
Oh, you're
they
right.
They beat Fresno
yeah,
State
that's
by
right.
3.
By more than Southern Cal.
No, Southern Cal won by.
1.
No, they won by 8?
8?
50-42?
Oh, well, okay. Oregon only
I think they won by 8.
Oregon won by 3.
Right.
Okay. So, I still like Oregon.
I know you do. Yeah, you know what? They are a good football team, and I probably should have them in my top 15, but I don't just for the heck of it.
I know.
Because it's not official.
You're prejudicial.
Before I forget, I just want to mention that, this is the basketball I was going to talk to you about.
Oh, help me.
Saturday at Reynolds Coliseum at 2 o'clock, NC State men's basketball against Appalachian State.
Why?
Why not? You got to play somebody, don't you?
At Reynolds?
At Reynolds Coliseum.
That's the old gym?
The old gym.
What's up with that?
They do this every year. They
really?
Play somebody.
Yeah,
Sometimes they bring out the unitard.
Everybody's got to forgive me. When it's basketball time.
I understand.
I am like, whoa.
You're fishing.
I don't have a clue.
$10 for adults, $5 for kids 17 and under. For tickets, you can call ticket office 865-1510. Got to play somebody.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I like the scheduling if I'm NC State.
It's all about making the NCAA tournament, right?
You got that
Doesn't
right.
Doesn't make a difference
got
what
it.
Else you do.
They've
you
got it figured out.
Make the tournament.
Just like we've talked about NC State and North Carolina. One of them's going to a bowl. One of them has a winning season.
That's right.
The other one isn't going to a bowl. The other one didn't have a winning season. But the one that isn't going to a bowl and didn't have a winning season beat the team that's going to the bowl and has a winning season.
Who had a better season?
Due to scheduling.
Who had the better season?
The better season?
Better season, Carolina or NC State.
From the coaching perspective?
Sure.
Carolina.
5-6.
5-6?
No game.
More substance?
Right.
Better games? More, you know, there wasn't the mystery as to what are we trying to do? Who are we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the discovery that was trying to go on there at North Carolina State. I mean, that was and believe me, I salute them. They did a great job of finally getting a handle on it at NC State.
But over the last 5 games, didn't NC State look a lot like a good football team?
They looked like a better football team than they were at the first of the year.
Well, that wasn't very hard.
Well, you're right about that. But, you know, Carolina, I mean, barring two ridiculously long touchdown passes, Carolina is 6-5 with a much tougher schedule. I mean, the Maryland game was a gut-wrencher for that program.
Yes.
That hurt. That hurt.
That's the difference.
That's the difference.
That's why they're not practicing over the next 3 weeks.
That's right.
Let's get to Chris and Kerry. Before we have to say goodbye, Chris, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, I was just calling up to agree with what you were saying earlier about how coming in is like the underdog, because it seems like, you know, Florida State and Miami normally aren't underdogs, but you know, it seems like all week, that's all both of them had to hear when they played Virginia Tech is how none of them stood a chance.
Listen, they had Bobby Bowden buried, done. They'd already figured out that he was going to lose that one for a 7-4 season and the bowl game for a 7-5 season. That's all I heard.
No, 7-5 and then 7-6.
Oh, yeah. That's all I heard. And, man, you don't do that or begin to think that way about talent that Florida State has, number one, and a coach like they have. Okay? I mean, how many games do you got to win before people figure out he might know what he's doing? For crying out loud.
I think the problem with that is that so many people are under the assumption that Bobby Bowden is no longer coaching the team, that he's just there and he's like doing interviews?
I don't think that's accurate.
I'm not saying it is, but I think that's a lot of people just have that assumption.
Yeah.
Clearly, they did a better job in preparation than Virginia Tech. They did a better job preparing their team for this game.
Well, that's true all the way back to the point that I made that Virginia Tech wasn't prepared for what they should have been prepared for. That one defensive game plan that exposed them, they were not prepared for it.
Very quickly before I let you go here, David Garrard got a win in his, not his first start, but his first start
this year.
Fifth start total, but first start this year when Jacksonville is trying very hard to secure a playoff spot.
That's right. Played well, solid, tremendous scramble to put the game away, a 28-yard scramble, which he's capable of, Byron Leftwich is not.
Right.
Had two touchdown passes dropped, two touchdown passes caught, and he threw one interception. And couldn't be more proud for him. And, just go do it again next week.
Are you watching, when you watch him, are you just a little bit more in tune with him?
Yeah, no question.
Are you thinking along with him?
I see a lot of the things that, I can see. I can anticipate him doing something. Just, when you raise one up like that, and believe me, the first time I had David, he was a freshman in my summer camp at 270 butterball pounds.
A freshman?
Quarterback.
Freshman?
In high school.
270-pound high school freshman quarterback?
Yes,
Come on.
Well, how do you think I got him? Nobody thought he was a quarterback looking like that.
270 pounds?
He was a Weight Watchers commercial.
Go to Subway.
Listen, I'm telling you, we fought and got him down. I think his senior year played at about 245, and since his surgery, he's playing at about 235 now.
Yeah, he was a big,
now listen, he had baby fat all over him, but he was a graceful, athletic, explosive young man, even as a 14, 15-year-old.
Before I perish from this earth, I want to watch a football game like that, like a David Garrard football game with you.
With me?
Yes.
It's interesting. My boys watch them with me all the time, and, I can anticipate a lot of things getting ready to happen.
I want that experience.
Well, when you've been in the trenches 30 years, you tend to be able to call some of that in long distance.
Thank you very much for making the appearance.
Yeah, man.
I enjoyed it as always. Steve Logan, brought to you by our good friends at Mulch Masters. They have your lawn covered. Have a great week.